Well, hello there. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber here at the Word of the King, Holiness Bibles for the Blind.
Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4 tells us that where the Word of the King is, there is power. We may say unto him, what doest thou?
Open up in your King James Bible to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Again, verse 4, where the word of the king is, there is power, and who may say unto him, what doest thou? Verse 5, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Verse 6, because to every purpose there is time and judgment, therefore the misery of man is great upon him. Verse 7, for he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? And verse 8, there is no man that hath power over the spirit to obtain the spirit in the day of death. Verse 8, there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. Again, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 8, there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. So the word of God says in Galatians that God is not mocked. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Sinner friend, your decisions and mine have consequences. What you do with your sin before a holy God, and what you do with God's Son in light of what he did for you on the cross, it's going to make all the difference in eternity. The Word of God declares, he that believeth on the Son, Son of God, Jesus Christ, hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. If you have not believed on the Son of the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, do not put your faith in him alone to reconcile you to God and to get you in right standing with God as your Father in heaven, then you, according to the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, are condemned already. The wrath of God is abiding on you. For Jesus himself said, he that believeth on the Son is not condemned, but he that believeth not the Son is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, St. John 3:18. Jesus Christ declared that the commandment of God is everlasting life. We read here in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 5, whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. If you keep the commandment of God, which is life everlasting, you shall feel no evil thing in eternity. And what is the commandment of God, which is everlasting life? It is the gospel. It is the good news of Jesus Christ. Repent ye, repent you sinner, and believe the gospel. The gospel how that Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. It is indeed true, and it's been well said, that the gospel is fourfold, and there are three negative aspects to it. The first, that Christ had to die, and he had to die, second of all, for your sin, and that he was buried. Oh, but the fourth, the positive is that he rose from the dead. He did not stay in the grave. It's not possible that death should contain him. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that if thou shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Yes, it's a very sad thing that the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh, had to go all the way to a place called Calvary to die on an old rugged cross, a cursed tree that made a curse for you. But he had to. It was necessary. It was the only way, sinner. But there is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. The Word of God makes very clear. Why does blood have to be shed? Why did Jesus, God manifest in the flesh, have to die? It's written, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The wages, the price, the cost is death. And that death is not just physical, but it is indeed spiritual. We read of that spiritual, that second death, as it's called. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Revelation chapter 20, verse 14. Ezekiel says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Here in the book of the preacher, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, it is written, verse 20, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Whoso keepeth the commandments shall feel no evil thing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And in eternity, you'll feel no evil thing. And you will, walking wisely before God in this life, save yourself from much evil in this life as well. So rest assured, Jesus did say that you should be hated of all men for his name's sake, speaking of his followers. And Jesus was willing to be hated. He was willing to be despised and rejected for you. Why would you not be willing to be despised and rejected for him? It is written, whoso keepeth the commandments shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. It's going to come a time. It's going to come a time when time is going to be no more. Where are you going to be when time is no more, sinner? Why not today? Why not now, as a wise man, in your heart, discern time? Time is not forever. There is this reality called eternity. And once you've entered the realm of eternity, there is no turning back. Hence, there is no man that hath power over the Spirit to obtain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. There's going to come a day when your time on earth, sinner, is up, whether or not you like it. And when it's up, death is not going to take a vote on whether or not you're ready to go. You're either ready to go or you're not ready to go. And God, who rules over all, knows he's been good to you in manifesting the knowledge of himself within you through creation. For the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth his handiwork. God knows in his goodness that he has been faithful enough to write his very law in your inward man, that thou shalt, that thou shalt not, of that place called Sinai. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus said, whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Thou shalt not kill. The Word of God declares, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. God equates ungodly hatred in the heart for your neighbor with murder, even though you never pulled the trigger. Even though you never took the knife, you never driven it into their heart. Hence, you yourself have, may have looked at someone with hate already and said those words, I'll kill you. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Again, whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Pornography. It's adultery. Taking that second look. Jesus said, it's adultery. And it's all the more reason why we need a Savior for all that sin comes short of the glory of God. For all that sin that comes short of the glory of God. Thou shalt have no other God before me, thus saith the Lord. Your God is what you trust in. Your God is what you put your faith in. Maybe your God is government. Maybe your God is money. Maybe your God is yourself. Whoso trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But he that walketh wisely shall dwell safely. He that putteth his trust in the Lord shall dwell safely. Maybe you're what you consider one to be maybe you yourself consider yourself very philosophically minded. Be not deceived. God warns of philosophy and traditions of men. Do not be corrupted by such. Take heed lest any man deceive you. To philosophy and vain deceit. After the traditions of men. After the traditions of men. Maybe your faith is in your church. The Word of God declares, speaking of Jesus Christ in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That is the name of Jesus. Jesus said it this way. And first of all, St. John 10 said, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. He that entereth the sheepfold by me shall go in and out and find pasture. He said, I am the door. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall go in and out and find pasture. He said, verily, verily, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some of the way, the same as a thief and a robber. Jesus equates seeking to go to heaven. Jesus equates seeking to be in right standing with God by any means other than himself as robbery. Thou shalt not steal. Because if you were to be reconciled to God by any means other than Jesus Christ, if you were to be reconciled to God by way of your works, by way of your righteousness, then you could take glory before God, and therefore you would rob Jesus Christ himself of the glory that he himself deserves. Hence he said, he that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold, but climb up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Again, Jesus said, I am the door. In just St. John 14, 6, he's put it this way, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said that in St. John 14, 6. He said, he's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord by God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. You take a blasphemy. You say God, and you say damn simultaneously in a moment of rage. When you use the name of Jesus Christ loosely as a curse word, or when you're joking around with your friends, those are all ways that you blaspheme the very God of heaven and earth. You make light of spiritual things. That's sin. Fools make a mock at sin, told in the book of Proverbs. Fools make a mock at sin. Are you a fool tonight? Do you take sin lightly? Yeah, see, God is the judge of the earth. He never has. He never will take sin lightly. In fact, his word makes it very clear that he will by no means acquit the guilty. There's going to come a time when, according to the book of Revelation, God is going to say, let him that is filthy be filthy still. So, discern now. Time, sinner. You don't have forever. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Hence, whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing again, sinner. His commandment, the commandment of God, is life everlasting. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and here we are. Judgment. Again, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Discern judgment. Think about judgment, sinner. You are going to give an account of yourself to Jesus Christ. And when you give an account to him, he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Or is he going to say, depart from me, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity? If he's not to look at you and say, depart from me, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity, you need, as a wise man, whose heart discerns both time and judgment, realize that day is the day of salvation. Boast not yourself of tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth. You're not guaranteed another 5 seconds. You're not guaranteed another second. You're not guaranteed another day. Because to every purpose, there is time and judgment. Verse 6 of Ecclesiastes 8 declares, Therefore the misery of man is great upon him, because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore the misery of man is great upon him. There's a purpose, sinner, for you being alive as you are physically. And that purpose is that you might live spiritually, and you might live unto God who gave you the very breath that you're breathing. So, we're told the Apostle Paul, writing under inspiration of God in the book of Galatians, wrote, "For I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, in the life which I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." In the book of Romans, Paul, same Apostle Paul, writing under inspiration of God, spoke of being alive unto God and being dead indeed unto sin. When you're dead, you're of no use. So when the Bible talks about being dead to sin, the Word of God is saying, make yourself of no use to sin and be alive unto God. Make yourself of use to God. And it all starts by faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. For behold, your iniquities are separated between you and your God, that he will not hear. But our God is the God of salvation. And we preach to you the God of heaven and earth, the God of Israel, come down to earth as a man, and yet fully God. Great is the mystery of godliness. God is manifest in the flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ, to die for your sins, to be buried, and to rise from the dead the third day, that you might live through him. Jesus said it like this, "Verily, verily, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death." I can thankfully say that I am never going to taste death, because I have kept the saying of Jesus Christ when he said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, he must be born again. For except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Born again. Simply put, sinner, you were not born right the first time. The Word of God declares, "Behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." You were born in sin. The way you know you were born in sin was nobody had to teach you how to sin. Somebody had to teach you how to do right. "Behold, you were shaped in iniquity, and in sin did your mother conceive you." So therefore, you must be born again. And even as you're being born the first time physically, involved with nothing that you did, so when you're born again, when you're born spiritually, it's not based on anything that you do. It's not based on any good from you, because in and of yourself, you are no good. You're all sin, you're all unrighteousness. "For by grace you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, any man should boast," Ephesians 2:8-9 says. Romans says, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Titus 3:5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Grace, God's unearned, unmerited favor. Mercy, God not giving you what you deserve. And what you deserve, because of your sin, is death, hell, and a lake of fire. In March 1995, I came face to face with the holy law of a holy God. And I came to the realization that woe is me, and I deserve that condemnation, that damnation of hell. May you say of yourself, "Woe is me," and acknowledge yourself worthy of the condemnation, the very damnation of hell. And then look to Jesus and live, for he is the resurrection and the life. He is the light of the world. He said, "Believe in the light while ye have the light," he told the sinners in his day. And believe in the light while you have the light, sinner friend, because tomorrow may be too late. The Bible talks about the candle of the wicked being put out. Your candle could get put out tomorrow. Believe in the light while you have the light. Verse 7 of Ecclesiastes 8, "For he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be?" It can be tormenting sometimes not knowing things in life. And how much more tormenting to not know when you die that you're not going to face an angry God. The Word of God declares in 1 John, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts about fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Are you afraid? Does the thought of death torment you? Now, in case you're thinking, I'm not afraid to die, and you, by your own confession, don't know Jesus Christ, you may very well have your conscience seared with a hot iron. There's a lot of people out there like that today. Conscience seared with a hot iron. Maybe you told yourself one too many times you're not afraid to die, and you were a liar. You knew you were afraid to die, and you just didn't want to admit it. So now you've told yourself one too many times that dirty lie, and you all started believing your own lie. Conscience seared with a hot iron. God knows your heart. God knows your heart. He knows you're afraid to die. For you know not, sinner, what shall be. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you know not what shall be in the hereafter. You ain't confess you do, but you don't. And who can tell you when the day of your death shall be? No one but God knows. No one but God knows. So why not? Why not commit your soul unto Him and as unto a faithful Creator, like it says in the one writing of the Apostle Peter. Again, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 8, that there is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit. You have no power over your Spirit to retain your Spirit. Sinner, neither have you power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war. And neither shall wickedness deliver you who are given to it. So therefore, turn you from your wicked ways, for why will ye die? Come unto Jesus, unto Him that loved us, that washed us from our sins in His own blood, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanse you from all sin. And as you call upon Him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, realizing your own condemnation as a filthy sinner, and asking Him to cleanse you and set you free, forgiving you from all sin. Not only will you be reconciled to God and God in heaven, as the Father will become your Father, the very Spirit of God take up residency within your mortal, physical body. And you will then know what it means to, on a daily basis, walk and talk with the Most High God of heaven and earth, to whom belong the issues from death, even as He will then walk and talk with you. And even as a father pities his children, so the Lord will pity you who have come to fear Him. Be not deceived. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 11 says, surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and a babbler is no better. There's a serpent that will bite you every time without enchantment. And that serpent is twofold, none other than the devil himself and his weapon, which is none other than sin, that crooked serpent, the devil himself being the author of sin. So flee to the Lord Jesus Christ, flee from the wrath to come, flee from the serpent who will bite you without enchantment, and you'll be hid in God, and in Christ is in God, safe forevermore.
Well, we're told, but as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. For cursed be everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. We're told in the book of Galatians, all but here it is. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Repent ye and believe the gospel, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, shall cleanse you from all sin. For if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Menial, mortal, sin, whatever you call it, all unrighteousness. God is faithful to forgive those who confess their sins to Him through faith in Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection alone. For by grace He is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, Call upon the Lord today. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber. Till next time, God bless you and yours.